Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of the Holtcast, episode 77, but who's counting? I'm Jack Grimsey, alongside Robert Lintott, as always. How's it going, Robert?
I'm doing well, and I'm the one counting, that's who.
Yeah, thanks, actually, for reminding me that, because I didn't know.
I'm just counting because I know we're getting suspiciously close to 100, and I think at that point we have a giant blowout, and we invite Mark Bunn on.
Yeah, hopefully. I'm hoping Villa will still be in the Premier League at that point, because that'd be fun. I haven't done reverse calculations, but it looks like that would kind of land us somewhere maybe in the middle of 2016. So it's
3 weeks, six. That's about 6 months from now. So yeah. mid July.
Yeah, ish.
Right. Yeah,
ish. But
something to look forward to.
It's starting to look a little better for Villa. Even if we do go down, it looks like we're going to go down with a fight. Now, four matches unbeaten. That's and following a string of 15 matches in all competitions without a win. It's definitely something to take.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, you had the draw at Wickham started everything, and that wasn't a great result at the time. But then you beat Palace, you draw Leicester, you beat Wickham again, and you know that's. It doesn't seem like much, but this, if there's any chance of avoiding relegation, this is how it starts.
I mean, obviously it's not possible, but if you went draw, win, draw, win, draw, win, and for the rest of the season, Villa would survive.
Yeah, absolutely. I don't know why you say that's not possible. They could do it.
Because at some point we have to win two in a row.
Oh, I see. Yeah, obviously.
Yeah, just natural, but... It looks like Remy Gard is finally getting things going at Villa. Fortunately, maybe that fight with the fans that a couple of the players had at that Wickham draw the first game before the replay, when Villa traveled to Wickham, that maybe started a fire kind of under their bums.
And boy, fans are still bitter about that gum chewing incident in the dugout. Are you even vaguely bothered by that?
Yes, but only because no one on our team has the technical ability to do what Mesut Ozil can do with a piece of gum, which is volley it and then hit it into a camera, even if that fine is fake. But no, I don't – who cares?
Yeah, and people are so angry. I mean, Guzan and Lescott are still getting booed. The snarky comments on Twitter keep raining down. I couldn't believe it. Like, who gives a shit?
Honestly, and if Brad Guzan wasn't playing so poorly, maybe it wouldn't have become a thing. And, you know, obviously if the club weren't in the worst stretch in, I don't know, 20 years that over that, it wouldn't be a thing. But yeah, apparently it is.
I just find it so funny. Like, one of our players was found face down drunk on vacation this year. And people are like, eh. And then Brad Guzan chews and spits some gum and people are up in arms.
I guess not really that many of our fans were up in arms about Guzan or about Grealish, but
yeah, no, that's what I'm saying. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Most of our fans were like, "Yeah, sure, okay, cool." And with Guzan chewing and spitting gum, oh my god.
Yeah.
Maybe I'm missing something. Maybe this is one of those lost in translation cultural things, but I'm not even vaguely bothered by that.
Yeah, you just have to be English to get it, mate. But yeah, anyways,
if we had a dollar for every time we've heard that, we'd be more rich than we are from blogging.
Yeah, but maybe that makes you think we haven't heard it that much. don't let that disillude you. But anyways, let's forget about that first game against Wickham, the draw that started it all, and get to that win at Villa Park. And yeah, so anyways, it wasn't on TV. Did see a couple highlights, but...
Yeah, and if you didn't get a chance to watch, we have the highlights on the site.
Yeah, the images, actually, also.
Someone made some joke that it would be great if we got to watch pictures of the match instead of actually having to listen to TalkSport commentate it. So someone took it upon themselves to MS Paint all of the main action in the match, and it was the best thing ever. Yeah.
Some genius. Who suggested that?
Who could it be? Who could it be? Yeah, no, it was... But then Gildatron, or Gild, whichever one he's going by, made it reality, and oh my god. I've never been happier.
Yeah, it was amazing. obviously, yeah, someone, Dave did 83, replied to you, who said, God, I hate following football on the radio. He said, I would rather watch drawings of the game, and at Geldatron took it upon himself to make a series of just frankly amazing drawings. So thank you. Thank you for doing that. And especially because we ended up winning. It was great to see, especially just the Remy Gard reactions.
They're all so great. And the broken leg, I never want to laugh at someone, you know, hurting themselves, but I'm going to laugh at that.
Oh my God. But yeah, it wasn't televised. So that kind of made it difficult for some people who would have preferred to watch, but I don't think we even wanted to see the first half, honestly, because from everything I've heard, it was just atrocious. But eventually Villa did come good. Kieran Clark opened the scoring with a header, and Idrissa Gana scored his first goal for the club, and it was actually a pretty good goal from the clip I saw.
Yeah, absolutely. He buried it nicely, exactly what we were looking for. And
I think that's what we kind of expected to see from Gana more is we'd heard he scored goals, but you know, if he's been taking shots from 25, 30 yards out, and obviously none have gone in the back of net, but when he's getting into the area, just shows he can finish competently.
Yeah, exactly. And I mean, so it was nice. And I don't think anyone expected him to score a ton of goals, probably not even 10, but more than one to this point in the season. So it's nice that he opened that account.
I was thinking maybe 4 or 5 for the year. Like, yeah. Just, you know.
Yeah, exactly.
A few goals, but then again, Villa haven't scored any goals at all. So.
That's true. And, you know, it doesn't take much to get 4 or 5.
Gana, I think, what was he? He was man of the match in the Leicester match.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I think. And, yeah, he's playing really well lately. So I guess one final thought I have on the Wickham game, it was nice to see Jordan Lydon make his full debut. Actually played at right back, I guess. Remy Gard had asked him, and he told him he'd played right back before, even though it's not his position. He was able to play there, and I think maybe impressed the boss a bit.
Yeah, absolutely. And from what I heard, he was having himself a decent match. The other comment I did want to make before we moved on from Wickham, even though we couldn't see it, the universal acclaim was that Brad Guzan had one of his worst matches ever, and he just looks totally out of confidence.
Oh.
At one point, the TalkSport announcers referred to one of his plays as suicidal goalkeeping that didn't convert into a Wickham goal only because they missed their open shot.
Yeah, it just, from all accounts, I think it's just a bad, very forgettable match for him in what's been really a forgettable season, where he's lost his job, basically lost all his confidence. Now he's the cup goalkeeper.
Yeah, absolutely. And what a turnaround there. And his replacement, on the other hand, is doing wonderfully. I'm not sure if he's the answer, but he's doing admirably as a stand-in right now, especially over the last weekend.
He's trying to make the most of it. He's doing the best he can, and he's doing better than at least I thought he could do, and many others as well.
Yeah.
And, of course, that's part fun.
Yeah, absolutely. With a saved penalty against Leicester, which is not something you expect to see.
Saved Riyad Mahrez' penalty. He didn't have to do a lot, but you still have to be in the right position. And although Mahrez got stripped of Leicester's penalty duties after, that's irrelevant. Bunn still got in the right spot. Saved the spot kick when Villa were down 1-0 and kept them in the match.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, if they go down 2-0, it's probably over, especially against, you know, Leicester, who have just been rampant this year.
And Bunn was so close to preventing Leicester's first as well, when Vardy broke in behind the back line, lobbed it over. It was really an incredible shot from Vardy. Bunn palmed it off the line, and unfortunately Julian Lescott was just enjoying the show, just like the other 40,000 at Villa Park who came to watch, and was totally caught ball watching, and resulted in a goal for Leicester.
Yeah, and, you know, again, the defense is a shambles. We're going to get to the fact that there's some rumors flying around about Lescott and whatnot, but something needs to happen there. But Bunn himself is not to blame, and you know, we'll talk about some of the rumors here, maybe another goalkeeper coming in and whatnot. At this point, I don't think Bunn is the long-term answer, but if nothing develops over January and Bunn is our keeper for the rest of the season, if he can play like this, I'm comfortable with that. He's earned it.
Yeah, exactly. In the championship, maybe Bunn deserves a shot. He's at least good enough to be a backup goalie in the championship, and if he's in the form of his life right now, you may as well try to ride it and see if, you know,
yeah.
Why not?
Yeah, absolutely. That Leicester match, by all accounts, you know, it seems to have been one of Villa's best performances of the year, only hampered by some not-so-great refereeing.
Yeah, like I was saying, we could have lost. Bunn saved that penalty to make sure we drew, but we also could have won. Libor Kozak was slammed in the face by Robert Huth's elbow, not once but twice. I think the first time actually was worse and deserved a penalty, but like I was saying to you a little bit before the show, I think it's difficult for a referee to give two penalties in a match. And even though the first one had gone to Leicester, gone against Villa, even though it was at the other end, I still think he was a little bit reluctant to give that penalty. And yeah. I don't know, Leicester, there were a lot of handball incidents. First, the Ali Sissoko just getting his arms really in front of his face, which, yes, it's in the letter of the law. I think that is a penalty. But if you listen to Aston Villa Review, Chris and Steve were talking about that, and how I think they were saying referee Mark Clattenburg said how the penalty is the only rule in the law of the game where intention has to be shown for it to be given as a foul. So that's kind of an interesting way to look at it.
Even just shying away from this game, I can't shake the sense that this full year is the worst year of refereeing we've ever seen.
Yeah, I think we just happened to catch bad refs at just a really bad time.
Yeah, but I'd extend that to say just
games that we're going to lose no matter what.
Yeah.
And when you can't catch a break in a game that maybe you have a chance to win or even take a point against a stronger team, and it's because of a referee, that really hurts.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's getting the point against Leicester is good. It's an undeniably good result, especially with the way that Villa played. It does hurt, you know, especially given our position right now, to not get all three.
Yeah, but it's not like the first match against Leicester. That should have been the one where maybe we should have got all three. Maybe we even should have took six off them this year, but, I mean, who knows? And the referee, he was just very inconsistent. You even look at the Rudy Justed goal. Move started off, Rudy handballed it. And it was obviously totally unintentional, but that ball doesn't bounce off his hand. He's losing possession.
Yeah.
I don't know. And he actually scored with his feet, so that was kind of fun.
Who knew he could still do that? Hopefully that's the thing that gets his confidence back for him. Do you think that performance earned his way back into the starting 11?
I think he just kind of put himself more into contention. I think if he could have maybe bagged one or two against Wickham, he would be back in the 11. But with Jordan Ayew definitely going to be on the pitch from the start at all times, and now with Kozak, with the news that Villa declined to sell Kozak now, you think, maybe Remy Gard actually wants him, but...
No shit. Yeah,
I don't know. It can't be bad for Rudy Justed, though.
If only there had been some sign that Kozak was actually half decent and worth playing, you know, something like a good performance in the preseason or something.
Yeah, well, Remy Gard maybe didn't see that.
Well, yeah, I know, but I'm just saying, you know, neither did Tim Sherwood, apparently.
Yeah, the blind leading the blind.
I think more than any, well, not more than anything, there's a lot to be bitter about this year, but that is on my list of things to be bitter about, very definitely in the top three this year. Because it's the fact that he hasn't been playing is basically just criminal when we can't score goals.
Yeah, and just to not even give him a chance, you know, if he goes out there and fails, okay, same as what we were seeing before we tried him.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, that's, in a weird sort of way, that's sort of a luxury that Villa have this year, is they've been so bad that you can basically try anything. It's not going to be worse.
Yeah, exactly, and I don't know, maybe if we get confirmed as relegated by March or the end of February or something, I don't know when it will mathematically be possible, but
it's not going to be.
If so, then you can just really try, I don't know, maybe play Jordan Lydon in every match, or Russian Hepburn Murphy, or, you know, whoever.
Yeah, bring in some of the kids. And unfortunately for the kids, that's not going to happen, because Villa are going to make it back and avoid relegation.
Yeah, obviously.
I oddly, you know, despite the fact that we didn't get, you know, any real purchase in the league this week, the performances against Leicester and Wickham have made me even a little more hopeful than I was at this point last week after we had beaten Palace. There might be fight in this team. They might be able to pull this off.
Yeah, certainly, because even though we outplayed Palace, it still took kind of a fluky goal for us to get the 3 points, and then you think, oh, well, we have to play Leicester, and they're actually good, so we could get thumped. But no, I actually put in a good performance, and, you know, it's got to give you a bit of hope. And even though I've been saying for maybe 2 months we're down, and I've just been trying to, I don't know, ease the pain a bit by just having accepted the fact a while ago. I mean, we're not down yet, so as long as the team keeps fighting, which maybe they actually are doing that now, you have to at least hold a little bit of belief that they could do it.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think if they are going to pull this off, they're going to have to be savvy in the last week and a half of the transfer window here. And we're seeing some signs of that, and some signs of, at least in my mind, some kind of dumb decisions. The one that struck me as a little bit dumb was loaning out Joe Bennett again. Do you see any sense in that move?
Not really, although maybe Remy Gard knows he can't move Kieran Richardson, and is probably, I don't know, maybe he wants Bennett next year to actually be better and develop more.
That could be. I mean, I can see that. I guess my problem is, once Jordan Amavi went down, we realized that we had no other left backs in the system, and so now we have Ali Sissoko back, who's not Jordan Amavi, but he's, you know, a left back. The problem is, if Sissoko gets injured, we're back to having no good left backs in the system, and that's worrisome to me.
Yeah, exactly. If you could have maybe tricked an MLS team into taking Kieran Richardson, then you could keep Joe Bennett.
But you can have Julian Lescott for free, so long as you also take Kieran Richardson.
And yeah, and taking Zakaria too while you're at it. But and Gabby, and yeah. I don't know. We just should start an MLS side and just throw all.
You mean like NYCFC?
Yeah, exactly. But
and just throw base our team in Birmingham, Alabama.
Oh my god, that would be hilarious.
You could be the Birmingham Villains of the MLS.
Oh my god, that MLS would probably explode. But you could just throw all your old players that you don't want, and then also loan out some kids there. But yeah, anyways, Joe Bennett going to Sheffield Wednesday on loan for the rest of the year. Jose Angel Crespo, fortunately we're not going to get to see too much of him, as he's going back to Spain with Rayo Vallecano. And, you know, maybe it's looking like Scott Sinclair could go back to Swansea, and that would be a weird move, especially since it's only going to be for $2 million.
Yeah, it would be a little bit strange, but Scott Sinclair has showed basically nothing this season, so it would not break my heart if that happened.
No, and it's disappointing, because I was really happy with him last year. He joined us alone and was good, and then I guess he got a new contract, and I don't know. But it's also interesting because he's proven himself as a player who can light up the championship. And if going back down, why not have someone who you know can cut it there?
It's an interesting question. I'm not sure how much I believe the fact that he could be leaving. It could happen, I suppose. And as could the Julian Lescott to the MLS rumors. But I've just heard so many denials of that from people who would actually know that I don't think that one's going to happen either.
I just can't. I can't really see Lescott leaving because he's been somewhat competent lately. And although you maybe want to free up squad spots, that's what you did by loaning out Crespo and then Joe Bennett, and maybe Nemanja Vidic signing on a free, which he hasn't played since May. And okay, yeah, he was brilliant when he was Manchester United's captain, but that was years ago.
Yeah, exactly. But like you said, he's an 83 on FIFA 16.
Yeah, he's an 83 in FIFA. So at least if you need him there,
would he be Villa's first 80 plus player?
Yeah, he would be now, because since Benteke left, we don't have one.
Yeah. Oh God. I that's another move that I don't really see a lot of upside there. You know, if Lescott does move, I'm not sure why we haven't seen the Clark and Okora pairing that worked so decently last year. You know, once we get back to league play again, Clark and Okora in the center and put Richards at right back, and I think that's probably the very best thing you can do right now.
Yeah, and I think that has the makings of a solid back four, especially with Sissoko on the left. And but again, as Villa Review were saying on their episode this week, I think it's more down to Okora being good rather than Clark, because whoever the center back pairing is, if one of them's a core, maybe he'll be okay.
Yeah, exactly. So I don't know about those. The other interesting signing is a giant of a Croatian. Or the other interesting potential signing is a giant of a Croatian.
Yeah, another Croatian goalkeeper. We know we had Matija Sarkic, but he was just a youth team player, actually played in that friendly when the Villa youth team played, the Villa under-21s played a Serie B all-star team, which that's kind of cool, but they ended up losing the other day 2-1. But yeah, Lovre Kalinic from, I think, HNK Split in Croatia.
And he's, what, 6'7"?
Anywhere from, I think, 3 to 5 million pounds. Yesterday, I think 6.5 million euros, but then it was reported as an unreliable journalist. But then somebody asked Remy Gard about it, and he said, "I'm looking at a keeper. It might be this one." And, oh, maybe it is.
Yeah, absolutely. 6'7", I believe it was. He's a full Croatian international. I'm not really sure what to say. I guess some of the problems that some people have seen with him is he tends to hew a little too closely to his line from time to time. But after we've seen Brad Guzan's suicidal goalkeeping enough this year, maybe it wouldn't be terrible to have someone who just sticks to their line.
Yeah, exactly. When you're 2 meters tall, you take up a good chunk of the goal. And, I mean, he's still young, so that's still his potential to develop. You know what you're going to get. It's not going to change. And apparently he's degrading by the week at this point. And if we brought this guy in, if we brought in Kalinic, it's got to be the end of Guzan. But I don't think we bring him in unless we have Guzan, like, agreed to move for Guzan to go.
Yeah.
Just because I can't see spending even $5 million on with the probability of relegation just hanging there. I can't see spending that money on a keeper when you're still going to be paying Guzan's wages.
Yeah, that's a really good point. I feel like Guzan should be able to get a shot somewhere. Before the podcast, you mentioned he might seem like a decent candidate for the MLS, as, you know, the U.S. international keeper and whatnot. And he's had success in the MLS before. If there's one Villa player that does make sense moving over to that league, it might be Guzan.
Yeah, I think it would make a lot more sense than Lescott going to the U.S., especially with him being a Villa fan and wanting, I don't know.
Yeah.
The article that said the Lescott's move to Villa was 17 years too late. that sucks. But I don't think he's going to leave after 6 months if that's the case. But I don't know. The Colorado Rapids were making some moves in their squad, and people on Twitter have been mentioning maybe they'll bring in Tim Howard. But you know, if not Tim Howard, possibly Brad Guzan.
Yeah, absolutely. And we should be clear: there hasn't been any connection made. We're just saying that actually makes a bit of sense.
No, it's an unsubstantiated rumor that I thought maybe the puzzle pieces could fit correctly. You know, so
yeah,
if it happens, I don't know. I don't get a prize or something. I don't know, but yeah,
If it happens, we'll buy you a beer. If Brad Guzan goes to the Colorado Rapids, I will buy you a beer.
Great.
You can hold me to that.
I think a lot of people will be happy to see him just go anywhere. But, yeah, I think just the last thing is we could still maybe see a striker come in. I don't know if it'll be Loic Remy at this point. But that sounds like someone that Remy Gard probably could get the best out of with him being French and all. But
are you just saying that because they both have Remy in their name?
Yeah, Remy boys.
Like that.
All right, so that brings us to Twitter questions for the day. Sorry, we kind of forgot we were recording tonight until just a couple hours ago. So if you didn't get your questions in this week, you can always send them in for next week. And first one was from Jonathan Northall at J Northall. Would you sell Jack Grealish if a club made a reasonable offer? And you responded asking what a reasonable offer would be, but Jonathan did not get a chance to respond. So I would say a reasonable offer, I don't know if it's actually reasonable, but an offer that a club could make maybe would be in the region of $7
million. Yeah. At $7 million, I don't think I would sell him. He's having an off year, but he's still, you know, incredibly young. And I think $7 million is probably a little bit low for him. If, however, someone tries to give us $12 million, yeah, I think I take that really quickly.
I don't know. I prefer to keep him just because I think he could be useful in the championship.
Well, that's a good point. I hadn't thought of, you know, what happens in – I was thinking this might be a summer type thing, but yeah. That's a fair point.
I mean, that's like how much money we basically spend on Adama, and
yeah,
he's for the most part useless. But next year, those guys could actually become stars in the team, and I think just that year of development could be what they need to get on the right track when we come back up to the Premier League.
Yeah, that's a good point. I still think, with the needs for money that we'll have if we end up dropping next year, I would probably take $12 million. I wouldn't love it, but I would probably take that. But anything below that, the answer is no. He's too valuable as a player at that point. But that's a good question.
Next one from Richard Yallop at Yallop. If you could have an extra pair of limbs, would you have two more legs or two more arms? And quite simply, it'd be arms any day. I think just legs would get in the way of walking, and even when just playing pickup soccer, like, I'm not going to be able to. I don't actually. You could put in some pretty nasty 4-footed tackles. I might have to reconsider.
I asked.
You could absolutely maim somebody.
I asked Richard for some clarification here, and I've found out that this is an acceptable answer. I would like to choose one arm and one leg. It's a pair of limbs. So it's not a matching pair. But I would like to do 3 and 3.
Yeah, 3 and 3 would be quite good. It's still like, I don't know how. What do you think speed walking would be like with 3 legs? You could probably get places pretty quick.
Yeah, I would think so. And if I had a third arm, it would allow me to live my. Yeah.
No, I was going to say maybe not 150% of the speed that you currently go, but at least like a 20% increase, which that could be pretty big.
Yeah, absolutely. I would take that. And the third arm would let me live out my dream of finally being in the Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy and being Zaphod Beeblebrox. So that's a joke for like seven of you.
The thing is, you think if you have three arms, you could do so much more stuff, but you'd probably actually need like three eyes just to see what you're all doing, you know, like.
But just think of the joy as you're like writing an article and you can reach down and just have a drink of coffee without stopping your typing.
Oh yeah, that would be nice. Yeah.
I mean, as a writer, having that third arm would just be clutch.
Yeah, exactly.
So yeah, I like the idea of one each.
I don't know. I think I'd still go with two arms, but just for I don't know, maybe you could get like a warehouse job and get paid a lot because you could do so much more stuff. Maybe, I don't know.
You're going to get an extra set of limbs and your dream is maybe I can get a warehouse job.
Yeah, you know, we need to work somewhere on where you could just somewhere where you could just maximize the usage of all four arms.
You guys didn't hear it last week, but you know the Powerball Lotto here in the U.S. was 1.something billion, and Jack was saying, you know, if I win that, I might be able to get a nice one bedroom apartment somewhere.
Yeah, but I said I would get a nice one bedroom apartment actually in a lot of places, I think, but
so, yeah, not dreaming. Dreaming. You need to recalibrate your dreams.
Yeah. Yeah. The last one we had was from Tyler Fisher. At T Fisher 2-1, Five Guys Saturday post-match, which I don't think Robert was in on this joke as much, but he had just mentioned he was reading about Five Guys earlier, and then that put him in the mood for it for dinner, and I was like, well, thanks for tweeting about it. Now I'm in the mood for it. So,
have you eaten Five Guys before?
Going to go Saturday after the match.
Have you eaten Five Guys?
If you're not too snowed in, Robert, you can come down to Chicago and join us.
It's the pride of the D.C. area, and I will tell you that that hamburger is fine.
Pretty good.
No, in the sense of the internet, that hamburger is fine. It is not a great hamburger. If you go, my recommendation is their hot dogs are freaking fantastic. Although in Chicago, I'm not sure if you guys need help with hot dogs.
I just like the peanuts, really.
Yeah, that's a good point. I mean, that's worth it. So, yeah. All right, there you go.
I don't know, the Villa Bar is pretty good breakfast burritos, and maybe you could end up getting stuff with one of those. But
I freaking love breakfast burritos. That might be one of my 10 favorite foods.
Gotta be in contention. So, all right, everyone, thanks for your Twitter questions if you sent those in. Remember, we'll get to those on the show. So if you didn't get them in this week, there's always next week. And that it's going to bring us to the last order of business, which is the West Brom match. And after two consecutive, three straight matches at Villa Park, huh? We're going to hit the road, go all the way to the Hawthorns.
Really, really leaving the friendly confines there. But yeah, nice little road match against West Brom, who already managed to beat us once this year.
God, and West Brom, they're in 13th with 27 points, and I was saying, how do they have 27 points? Like, what would we not give to be in 13th with 27 points at this point? Like,
right.
This season.
27 measly points sounds positively luxurious. They are angling to finish the year at like 42 or something, and that sounds like heaven to me.
Yeah, it's just... Just have big dreams of 44 points with Tony Pulis. Oh, Jonathan just responded, 6 to 7 million. The snake went for 8 million.
That's a good point. For Jack Grealish, so no. Six and 7 million, if someone offers that, I say no for Jack Grealish.
Yeah, no thanks.
Yeah. Right. Unless we get Fabian Delph in return.
Back to West Brom. And Tony Pulis, which, I mean, he's been using this. I think this is kind of his go-to, is just four center backs as a back line. And, you know, I think one of his strengths could end up being set pieces, just because if we're going to end up playing Richards at right back and then have Lescott as one of the center backs, that's, and then if you have Rudy up top, that's three pretty good aerial presences.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. You've got a lot of height in that team there. If only we could get that 6-7 goalkeeper in there for set pieces as well.
Yeah, well, but on the other end, you've got to think defending set pieces, having those big bodies, you're going to need them just as much, because with the men that the Baggies could throw forward.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, they're a team that doesn't do anything pretty because they're managed by Tony Pulis, but they are ruthlessly... boringly effective. And, you know, at this point, I think any Villa fan would take that right now.
Oh, yeah. I mean, without a doubt, it'd be nice to just fly under the radar and not be the kind of the laughing stock of everyone, with even now 12 points, still bottom of the table, and that goal difference really isn't improving too quickly. It's still at minus 20.
We'll get there. Give it time. I'm going to remain the eternal optimist.
Just wait until February to turn the season around.
If you just wish hard enough, this will all work out.
You can just pretend that we're good.
Before we actually found a radio stream, AVTV wasn't working against Wickham, and the BBC wouldn't let me listen to them from the United States, so I was planning on just tweeting a pretend match.
So yeah, that would have been almost as good as the pictures.
Yeah, so maybe I can do that for the rest of the season. Just pretend that Villa are winning every single match. The most glorious comeback in history.
Overly thrilling, you know. Couple draws.
Okay, yeah, fine. Villa win all but three, and those three they draw 0-0.
That's too boring. I'd rather lose 3-2 and go down fighting.
Villa looking for a win on the last day here, and they lost 3-2.
Yeah, I was kind of thinking because just talking about Grealish kind of got me thinking about him is, like you were saying, he hasn't been having a good year in that Wickham match. I really think was a good chance for him to put in a good display against obviously a worse opposition. And from what I heard, it was one of his worst matches in a Villa shirt. You have to wonder. I mean, you have to think he's not going to be in the 11 for West Brom.
Yeah, I can't imagine he will be. Nor do I imagine. I would not be shocked if he misses the bench.
Sorry, I lost my connection there for a second.
No, that's all right. I said I would not be shocked if he misses the bench based on what we heard about his performance against Wickham.
Oh, that would be harsh because there's really not that many people that can even make the bench. But
I suppose that's true.
You're right. But I think we are going to see Carlos Hill in this match, and obviously Jordan Ayew and Oliver Post going up tomorrow. That's still the right, but yeah, I think I don't know. I think it's interesting to see if it will be Rudy or Kozak.
I think it'll probably be Kozak, just because he's put in a good shift in a few matches. He got the rest on yesterday's match. He got the rest the day off. I think that was sort of signaling that he's the league starter right now.
Yeah, and I guess it's just really important that match didn't end up going to extra time, because if Villa had to play 120 minutes, that would have been a very big drain on this West Brom match.
So, yeah, it was a concern for a while because we didn't score until the 75th minute?
Yeah, and I know Alex tweeted, this is why we should have put the ball into our own net when we were playing at Wickham, so we wouldn't have to deal with that.
Yeah.
Okay, that would be a bit extreme, but also, I mean, possibly not the worst thing that Villa could have done, which playing 120 minutes would have been.
Yeah, absolutely. But luckily avoided that. Especially, I think it should be a pretty fresh team. You know, the right back, whoever it ends up being, won't have played midweek. The center
back. And West Brom had to play on Tuesday as well.
Yeah, absolutely. Are you feeling comfortable about this? Do you think Villa can carry their unbeaten form into this match and make anything of it?
Yeah, you know, maybe if only because last year against West Brom was the match that we turned it all around.
Yeah, absolutely. Maybe
playing left back. God. You know, he only has made 8 appearances for Burnley in the Championship this year.
Who has?
Matt Loughton.
Oh, yeah, I know. It's ridiculous. He scored a goal the other day, though.
Yeah.
I think I saw that. Was it last Saturday he scored a goal or something?
Yeah, I think so. I think it's just the one goal from this year, but...
Speaking of old villains doing stuff that I noticed the other day, on Tuesday, Jonathan Hogg got a straight red.
Yeah, I saw that. He's at Huddersfield, I think.
Yeah, there's a name you haven't thought about in a few years.
Yeah.
Over, under, 2.5.
You know, I really thought there were going to be some goals last week against Leicester, but I was wrong.
I'm taking Villa the under. It's a Villa team who can't score against a Tony Pulis side.
It's a team that can't score against a team that doesn't want to score, and that team that doesn't want to score is hell-bent on defending even more so.
Yeah, exactly. I think one goal in this match.
Ipso facto, 4-4.
Yeah, absolutely. Villa end up winning 7-6.
Yeah. Yeah.
Thrilling match we've ever seen. But yeah, I take the under on 2.5. I think it's going to be a one goal match.
Yeah. Realistically, I have to agree.
Yeah. I don't have much else for it. At this point, I'm really not even sure what to expect of this team.
Yeah, I guess I'm just hoping we see Richards right back and Clark and Acora, I guess. And I guess it's good that, I don't know, do you think Carlos Sanchez will be back? Because he went off against Wickham.
Yeah, I'm not sure. He picked up a little knock. I sort of expect him to sit. I think it'll be Vera, too. You know, maybe that Vera 2 Westwood Ghana trio.
Yeah. Yeah, I think you're right.
Yeah, that strikes me as the most probable, I think.
Yeah. So hopefully one of them can get on the score sheet again, but don't really expect it. I mean, be perfectly fine with just 1-0. That will work.
Yeah, absolutely. And 1-0 in Villa's favor, please.
Yeah. That'd be terrible to lose to the Baggies, but...
Oh, my God. Because then it would be both boring and depressing.
Exactly, yeah. Just death by boredom. Just the worst kind.
Soul-crushing matches. At least
if it's just a big fiery explosion, it'd be some entertainment. Train crash, you know what's happening. You still can't take your eyes off of it.
Yeah, but absolutely.
Yeah, I think that's all we have for you this week. Remember, we're still on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, Blog Talk Radio, of course, and YouTube. Back in the video game. Now that the YouTube account isn't locking me out and making me put in my Afghanistan phone number to try to get in. I think I forgot to mention the match is just at 3 GMT Saturday.
Yep,
I believe normal time, so 10 Eastern, Pacific. We'll have all the latest news for you, as always, at 7500hold.com and on Twitter and Facebook. So I'm sure you're all already following us on Facebook, Twitter, and checking the site. But if somehow you stumbled upon us, check us out there. And, yeah, anyways, for Robert Lintott, I'm Jack Grimsey, and we'll see you next time on the Holdcast. Thanks for listening.